40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African Athletics. April is a big month for international marathons, and African athletes, primarily those from neighboring Kenya and Ethiopia, will almost certainly be taking home prize money and winners' laurels. The two biggest marathons on the calendar this month are the Boston Marathon, April 20th, and the London Marathon, April 26th. Before Boston and London, though, there are some top European marathons this weekend, and I think we'll definitely see some African winners. In France, former champions Vincent Kipruto of Kenya and Atsede Baissa of Ethiopia have returned for Sunday's Paris Marathon. Kipruto won in Paris in 2009 in a personal best of 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 47 seconds. For her part, Atsede Baissa is a 2-time Paris Marathon women's champion, winning back-to-back titles in 2009 and 2010. In the Netherlands, Kenyan runners James Kwambai, Bernard Koech, and Jonathan Mayo are rated among the top contenders for the men's title in Sunday's Rotterdam Marathon. All three Kenyans have run under 2 hours and 5 minutes for the marathon distance. Kwambai was runner-up in Rotterdam in 2009, while Koech was the runner-up in the Dutch city last year. On the south coast of England Sunday, one of the newer international marathons will take place, the Brighton Marathon. This will be the 6th running of the English event. Kenyans have set course records in Brighton the past 4 years, and they'll be looking to set another one on Sunday. Kenya's Dominic Kangor, the 2013 champion, is back in Brighton. Fellow Kenyan Mutai Kipkemai is also expected to be among the leaders, while Ethiopia's Musa Babo Ido will try to stop the sequence of 4 consecutive Kenyan wins in Brighton. Some sad news on the Sunny Side of Sports out of Morocco. A head-on collision between a bus and a truck has killed at least 31 people, many of them young athletes. 9 people were injured in the fiery crash early Friday morning near Morocco's southern desert city of Tantan. Local media report many of those on board the bus were school students participating in a national sports competition. Another report said the truck was a petrol tanker, and the collision was followed by a terrible explosion. According to the U.S. State Department website, road accidents are a significant hazard in Morocco. Although there are modern highways between the main cities, the rest of the country is served by 2-lane roads, often in poor condition. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, my VOA colleagues Tef and Downtown Brown will have our English Premier League football question of the week.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef.
The EPL question of the week is, Charlie Adams' sensational 60-yard strike for Stoke City in a 2-1 loss against Chelsea Saturday has been described fantastic, unbelievable, and a once-in-a-lifetime goal.
Is it the best goal you've seen this season?
So let's first start off with saying Arsenal is in second place right now. And any goal that Arsenal has is an amazing goal. It's a top goal.
My God, it's so
every single thing that they do is amazing.
Only that.
All Arsenal fans stand up, give yourself a salute, a Sunny Side of Sports salute.
You're just hijacking this question right now. How about we focus on all these fans that have said that this is probably the best goal they've seen this season? Give it up to, Stoke. They don't score much, but when they do, it seems that they actually, you know, score some beauties.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Peter Crouch's with the headers. But Charlie Adam just, man, watching that was the best. Unfortunately, their goalie gave up the game very last minute. You know, if Chelsea had tied, we would have had a title, race in our hands.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he gave it away after playing so well all game. So, yeah, what did fans say to this week?
So, Tef, you got your first shout-out by Umar.
Yes, keep him coming.
He said, wow, what a goal from Charlie Adams. This is the goal of the season. But for me, it's not the best I've ever seen. It should be Puskas Award. And note about that. And he gave us a shout-out to Tef, Downtown Brown, and all staff of Sunnyside of Sports. Thank you.
Say hi back. Hi, Umar. Most of the comments actually said that it is one of the best goals they've seen, even Chelsea fans. Joshua said that it's one of the best goals he's seen scoring against my club. He said it was a thrilling goal. So Atime Marcus said, there are goals and then there are goals. This is the goal that shadows many goals. It's the best of the best for me in the APL so far. Obviously, a lot of people seem to think that it's one of the best goals, but so all of them seem to think that this is one of the best goals except one person.
Tis Funky said, what's the biggie about this goal?
Should every long-range goal be termed once-in-a-lifetime goal?
I'm not surprised. The English can hype whatsoever.
I mean, I'm half in agreement. I remember Ibrahimovic scoring that goal against England when Sweden played in a friendly.
Yeah.
That bicycle kick goal. And, you know, everybody finally opened their eyes to Ibrahimovic. Like, he didn't exist a long time ago. But since it happened against England.
But at the same time, this is
actually a really good goal. Like, I mean, especially against one of the toughest defenses in England. And probably the second best keeper after De Gea in the league right now. David Courtois, who's already,
of course it's De Gea we got to talk about.
I mean, speaking of best goal, it's been an amazing season for goalies this year.
So
and
where was De Gea when he played against Arsenal?
Ooh.
That was not his mistake.
Ooh.
Valencia, he's apologized already. But, yeah, man, so that was a great goal. But so did you have a favorite goal this season or was that it for you?
My favorite goal of the season, like I said in the beginning, all Arsenal goals are my favorite. We can start with Alex Sanchez. We can start with Alex Sanchez when he, like, ripped one, the corner of the box, and just
drilled past
in.
The play. He did the step overs and stuff. Yeah. I mean, for me, the only thing I'll hold against Charlie Adams' goal is the fact that it was not a big game. It was a big game for Stoke, but it was not a big game. So I look back at big games, I have to give it to Coutinho, who scored two crazy goals against some big teams. So I think the level of the game defines how good a goal is. So for me, this season is in between Coutinho's goals against City and Mata's goal against Liverpool.
So moving on, let's talk about the table. I know I want to talk about the table because...
Oh, I want to talk about the table too.
Because Arsenal's right there. We're right in second place right
so,
now.
So are the Devils.
So, Tef, how do you feel about the tables changing?
I like it. I've always said from the beginning of the season that I would want to see the four traditional... Well, of course, Chelsea's not a traditional powerhouse, but since 2000, they've been there. So I want to see Chelsea, Arsenal, United, and actually Liverpool as the top four, which if United actually ends up beating City this weekend is a very, very good possibility. The other teams have been in form. City has been just really bad in the past few games. I think they've lost 4 out of 6 of the past games. So it's kind of, I feel bad for City, but I really don't. So I hope they don't make the top four. And if you're a City fan, I apologize, but you had it coming.
Yeah, because if they get kicked out the top four, you can say goodbye to almost every single player City has.
Oh, I mean, and the thing is, these are close to 30-year-old players.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money they can recover from them. You know, maybe Nasri will sell, but outside of Aguero, Yaya Toure is kind of old. Silva's nearing the 30s.
He might actually go to Series A.
Oh, yeah, actually, Inter Milan right now, they're very desperate to get him.
But
the one thing you can be sure about with the, fair place, City will not be able to spend enough money to come back with a young team, or at least a young best team.
And,
so,
and the funny thing is, this past January versus January transfers, a lot of teams stayed or re-signed their contracts. So a lot of big-name players are staying with their teams.
Exactly.
So it's
going
to be even worse for
the market is small now. Yep.
So,
yep. And again, Champions League football, every team wants, every player wants it. So even Liverpool and is going to have a hard time if they don't get the Champions League spot. Yep. Same with City. Well, we'll just have to see. And I think this Sunday is a huge game for, I think, both sides. It can say United have arrived, the City becomes red again, or it says City still have hope and they're still in the game.
I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And this is Tef Tef.
Hey, have a great weekend, you guys.
You guys have a great weekend, too. Joining us now with more sports news is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma.
We begin with football. Gambia are Africa's most improved team, while Liberia has slipped by the widest margin, according to the FIFA rankings released in Zurich, Switzerland on Thursday. Algeria's Desert Fox are 21st and are Africa's highest-ranked side. African champions Ivory Coast are 23rd, Ghana 26th, Tunisia 30th, Senegal 36th, and Cape Verde Islands 37th. Guinea is 41st, Nigeria 45th, Cameroon 48th, and the Republic of Congo 49th. Meanwhile, Egypt plays Burundi as Cameroon faces Zimbabwe in weekend men's 2015 All-Africa Games qualifiers. Zambia hosts Nigeria, Ivory Coast engage Burkina Faso as South Africa hosts Sudan, Ghana engage Mozambique, and Senegal host Mali. Elsewhere, defending champions Cameroon host Ethiopia as Tanzania plays Zambia in women's All-Africa Games qualifiers. Ivory Coast face Guinea-Bissau, Zimbabwe engage Ghana, South Africa encounter Botswana, Nigeria tackle Mali, while Senegal host Egypt. In rugby, South Africa's Orchard Primary School in Orange Farm near Johannesburg make their debut at a one-day international under-12 rugby tournament in Monaco tomorrow, Saturday. The youngsters, who are predominantly from underprivileged backgrounds in Alexandra Township north of Johannesburg, got a once-in-a-lifetime pep talk from President Jacob Zuma.
Sport is an important thing in the life of a person, a community, in the life of a country, in the life of the world. Sport widens your horizon of knowledge, creates social interaction, friends with the world. We call people like ourselves the ambassadors of our nation. You are a South African team, not just Orchard's school. That's why we're here. That's why the minister is here. That's why we're here. To encourage you to do your best. I can promise you. If you win the tournament, we'll come back with a cup. The minister and myself will come to to celebrate with you. Agreed? Did I promise?
That was Jacob Zuma, South Africa's head of state. I'm Mark Ouma in Bloemfontein, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on. This is for the world. Just come out and play with me.
This is for the globe.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the globe.
Hey.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the globe.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with me.
This is for the globe.
We got the game on.
Game on, VOA sports fans. One of our big African football stories this week was Gabon being awarded the hosting rights to the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. The qualifying tournament for Gabon 2017 will kick off in June. The teams are divided into 13 qualifying groups. Our African football guru, David Legg, has been looking at the various groups. This evening, David turns his attention to Group E, which features Congo-Brazzaville, Guinea-Bissau, Kenya, and 2012 Nations Cup champion, Zambia.
This one, Sonny, is really competitive. Zambia, Congo, Brazzaville, and Kenya. I can see them really battling it out for first place. This could arguably, in fact, be the most competitive group if you look at three countries chasing top place. Zambia are not the side they were in 2012 when they shocked Africa, shocked the world, in fact, by winning the Cup of Nations in Gabon. Congo-Brazzaville impressively qualified for the quarterfinals before they went down to the Democratic Republic of Congo this year. And Kenya are really long overdue qualification for the finals. You've got to go back to 2004 for their last appearance. So this one, Sonny, to me, could be a humdinger between Zambia, Congo, Brazzaville, and Kenya. Unfortunately, I think Guinea-Bissau are going to be the whipping boys in this group. I think they'll be competitive at home, but they'll probably lose all their away matches. But it is the side that can go to Guinea-Bissau and pick up points there that could well end up as the group winners. I guess Zambia must be slight favourites, I stress slight favourites, to win this group. But I think the Congolese in particular are going to push them all the way.
In Group F, David, we have Cape Verde, Morocco, Libya, and Sao Tome. How do you see this group?
This is another interesting one, Sonny, in that you've got the Cape Verde who are continuing to box above their weight, so to speak. You've got Morocco, who I guess are just grateful to be in this competition because at one stage they were barred, but they appealed to the Court for Arbitration in Sport in Switzerland and got back into the competition. And then you've got the Libyans. Now, the Libyans are a talented side, but sadly they've got their security problems in that North African state. And that means that certainly at this stage, they're going to have to play their home matches outside of the country, and that clearly will hamper their chances. So I'm thinking, Sonny, this one will boil down to Morocco and Cape Verde. If you think about it, it's a bit lopsided. You've got that tiny group of islands of Cape Verde with just a population of 500,000 people up against the North African Kingdom of Morocco with a very long and rich football tradition. Tough one to call. I'm going to sit slightly on the fence at this stage and go, say, between Cape Verde and Morocco. I think the fact that they won't be able to play at home will count against the Libyans. And Sao Tome, they're very much the outsiders in Group F.
Group G, perhaps appropriately named, because we have two African giants, Nigeria and Egypt, in this group, as well as Tanzania and Chad. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well put, Sonny. Group G, the giants, I like that. And this is one of the blockbuster groups. There's actually two of them. We'll come to the other one later. But it seems almost unbelievable that one of these great countries, record 7 times winners in Egypt, or 3 times winners Nigeria, will not be in the finals. Now, here I stress that there are, apart from the 13 group winners qualifying, the best two runners-up also make it to the finals. But this is a really, really tough one. Egypt desperate to get back in. Just to rewind slightly, they won 3 competitions in a row between 2006 and 2010. And since then, they failed to qualify for 3 consecutive tournaments. It has never happened before in the long and proud history of the Pharaohs. And now they're facing the real prospect of 4 failures in a row. That, I think, is going to be very hard to stomach for Egyptian football followers. Nigeria, on the other hand, not very impressive of late in friendly games, losing at home to Uganda, held away by South Africa. So they've got work to do, too. The first thing they've got to do is sort out their coaching issue. We all know that Stephen Keshi was offered the job, but we haven't heard from Stephen Keshi since. Is he going to come back and take over the Super Eagles? Yeah, Sonny, this is a big one. With the greatest of respect to Tanzania and to Chad, it boils down really to Nigeria and Egypt, the Pharaohs and the Super Eagles. And when you think of these two countries, you really think of the Africa Cup of Nations final tournament rather than the qualifiers. But what's happened, Sonny, is because Egypt have been struggling, they've slipped down the rankings. They've also not getting points when it comes to classification in the Cup of Nations. And they were only 2nd seeds for this draw. And that is why you've got teams together who normally would not meet at the qualifying stage. The last time they met was back in 2010 in Angola in a group game, which the Pharaohs won 3-1 on their way to winning the 3rd consecutive title. Please, Sonny, don't ask me at this stage to tip who's going to go through. It's just too close to call. We're going to have to wait a little while. We're going to have to think about this one. But it's really amazing. Well, I looked at the draw first, and I thought Nigeria and Egypt both in a qualifying group. It shows you times are changing in African football. Normally, these two countries would not meet at this stage. And I guess the fans are the real winners. We can look forward in March of next year to 2 great matches between these two giants of African football. 10 Cup of Nations titles between them. And I stress, there is a fair chance that one of them will not make it to Gabon in 2017.
Let's turn to Group H now, David. We have Ghana, Mozambique, Rwanda, and Mauritius. How do you see this group?
Yeah, this one's a lot easier, Sonny. I'm quite happy to stick my neck out right now and say the Black Stars of Ghana will win this group. Ghana, of course, runners-up this year to Ivory Coast, 0-0 after extra time in the final in Bata in Equatorial Guinea. Ghana were looking good in the penalty shootout. They were 2 goals ahead, but they fluffed it, and eventually they lost by 9-8. Mozambique, Rwanda, and Mauritius, I think at home, will be competitive. But I certainly see Ghana winning all their home fixtures and picking up some points on the road. So with a fair degree of confidence, I'm saying that Group H is going to see Ghana finishing on top.
In Group I, David, we have Ivory Coast, the reigning African champion, along with Sudan, Gabon, and Sierra Leone. How do you see this group?
First of all, Sonny, I'm going to have to do a little bit of explaining about this group because for the very first time, and I actually think it's a good idea, what you're going to have is you're going to have the host nation taking part in the qualifiers, but they don't actually have to qualify because as the host nations, they automatically qualify. But what it is an opportunity for the host nation to get plenty of practice. But, Sonny, this group effectively is between Ivory Coast, Sudan, and Sierra Leone. They will all play Gabon home and away, but those matches will be classified as friendly, and there will be no points awarded. The big disadvantage in this group is because there are only 3 teams effectively competing for Cup of Nations places, the runners-up will not be eligible to qualify for the finals. So it's basically cut and thrust between Ivory Coast, Sudan, and Sierra Leone. Whoever wins the group will go to the finals, but the other 2 countries will be eliminated. While, on the other hand, Gabon, by playing these 6 matches, will get plenty of practice. Sonny, you've got to go with the Ivory Coast. Sudan had a poor 2015 qualifying competition. Sierra Leone, like I've mentioned about so many other countries, they'll be strong at home. They're not going to be a pushover for anybody in Freetown, but it's hard to see them winning in Abidjan or in Omdurman. And Ivory Coast, Sonny, must be firm favorites to top Group I.
In Group J, David, we have Algeria, Ethiopia, Lesotho, and the Seychelles. How do you see this group?
Well, I don't want to sound arrogant, Sonny, but I think this one is pretty easy. It's got to be surely the Desert Foxes of Algeria. They're the top-ranked country in Africa, and they beat Ethiopia home and away in the last qualifiers. And with the greatest of respect to Lesotho and Seychelles, they are among the minnows of African football. You cannot at this stage think either the Crocodiles of Lesotho or the Pirates of Seychelles are under any circumstance going to win this group. Algeria, a nice mix of local players and foreign-based players, and already I think they're going to be one of the favourites to go all the way and win the Cup of Nations in 2017. So, Sonny, a very firm prediction here from me. Algeria to top Group J with Ethiopia, Lesotho, and the Seychelles fighting for second place.
We turn now to Group K, David, and this group features Senegal, Niger, Namibia, and Burundi. How do you see this group?
Well, Sonny, on paper, it's got to be Senegal. They look much stronger than Niger, a country that came up a few years ago, but they haven't really continued to make progress. Namibia in Windhoek are always competitive opposition, and similarly with Burundi and Bujumbura. But the trouble with these sort of countries like Burundi and Namibia is they really do battle away from home. They struggle to avoid defeat. The real test for Senegal, I believe, will be when they get to the finals. I'm assuming they're going to win Group K. Can they then put poor recent performances in the tournament behind them? In 2012, they went to Gabon and Equatorial Guinea as one of the favorites, and they lost all 3 games. And then again this year, they went to Equatorial Guinea. Again, they were, in fact, joint favorites with Ivory Coast as far as the bookmakers were concerned. And what happened? Once again, they fluffed. Only 1 win from 3 games and out again after the first round. So they've got a lot to prove under their new coach, Cissé. But it would be a real shock if Senegal did not win Group K.
Let's move now, David, to Group L. We have Guinea, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Swaziland. And David, I remember you telling our VOA listeners how Zimbabwe was kicked out of 2017 World Cup qualifying. Maybe a chance for a little morale boost here in the Nations Cup qualifying.
Yes, Sonny, and also the Zimbabweans, who really are a cash-crippled country at the moment. They're going to be very happy that two of their three opponents are also in the Southern African region, because that will cut back considerably on the transport costs. They play in Malawi and in Swaziland. Unfortunately, Guinea, right up there in the heart of West Africa, that's going to be a much more expensive trip. And the Guineans, who reached the quarterfinals in 2015, they, Sonny, will be the favorites, I believe, to win this group. Malawi are inconsistent. They can be very good, and they can also be very bad. Zimbabwe have really got their problems at the moment. Apart from the cash issue, they don't have a national coach, and I suspect the lack of cash means that they're going to appoint one only very shortly before these qualifiers begin in June. Swaziland, competitive at home. They'll also put up a good fight away, but you cannot see them as realistically winning Group L. So with a fair degree of confidence, I'm going for Guinea to finish top of the Group L table.
Finally, David, we have Group M, Gambia, South Africa, Cameroon, and Mauritania. How do you see this group?
Well, this is the second big one, Sonny, Cameroon and South Africa. I mean, the South Africans are putting on a brave face, and Sheikh Mashaba says he's very confident, but I guess that's what every coach says. You know, all 52 coaches at the moment are telling whoever wants to listen that they're very confident of getting to the finals. But deep down, Sonny, I've always been of the belief that if you can get an easy draw, why go for a difficult one? And if you offered the South African coach a choice of different opposition, I don't think he would have picked Cameroon. Cameroon are a very dogged side. I think they were unlucky in Equatorial Guinea not to get past the first round. I think potentially I can see the Indomitable Lions rising again. I think they're not far short of being a really good team. I make them favorites, actually, in this group ahead of the South Africans. I think the skill level of the South Africans is equal to that of the Cameroons, but where the Cameroonians, I believe, have got a distinct edge over the South Africans is when it comes to the mental approach. I think they're tougher, harder. They're bigger fighters, Sonny, and I think that could be crucial. I certainly see Cameroon beating South Africa in Yaoundé, and then it will all hinge on the results of the return match. But this is a really tough draw for both Cameroon and South Africa. And when I was looking at the draw, Sonny, I picked out Group M, Cameroon and South Africa, and Group G, Nigeria and Egypt. To me, they are the highlights of this qualifying tournament.
David, you mentioned this qualifying tournament kicking off in June. When will we know the 16-team field for Gabon 2017?
That we will know, Sonny, in September of next year. A lot of people did not like the qualifying tournament that's just passed, the one where we had double rounds in September, October, and November, teams playing two matches in the space of 5 or 6 days. I loved it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. It was intense. It built up to a crescendo. You know, it started in mid-September, and by the end of November, we knew exactly where we were. Now, this one, on the other hand, Sonny, goes back to the sort of what I'd call the old format, where it's stretched out over a period. It begins with a round in June this year, in the middle of June, in fact. You've got another round in September, and then it stops till March of next year. And in March of next year, you've got two rounds between the Friday and the following Tuesday. And that's when you're going to have those blockbuster fixtures. You're going to have Nigeria and Egypt playing each other twice, and you're going to have Cameroon and South Africa playing each other twice. And then it carries on in June of next year and again in September. So you've got a long stretch, Sonny. And what can happen is, of course, a team that's bang in form in June this year may well be bang out of form come September next year.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Rashad Smith. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.